Ladies and gentlemen, boys and ghouls, it's time for Below Grade Level. It's time for the fright of your life.
Hello and welcome to Below Grade Level, the show where we take the books that we read as kids and read them as adults and ruin them. I'm one of your hosts, Jonathan Eaton, and with me as always, interrupting me as always, is Chris Zaleski.
Chilling Phantom Valley, it's a haunted doll.
How long have you been waiting to do that?
About 5 minutes.
Cool. And Becca Eaton.
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
Good. We have a very special guest
never
today
in this
episode.
Never introduced first.
It's because you fucking interrupted me. first time on Below Grade Level, but probably not the first time on Below Grade Level because of all the anthology shit that I released. Mm-hmm. But I'll say returning champion because I know you've read with us before, Anna Marie Dameron!
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Anna Marie, I was telling Becca the other day that you're the reason this show exists.
Which I forgot about.
Yeah. Because years and years and years ago, when we were doing our old podcast, I posted a picture on Instagram or something, but like, it was when my mom gave me all of my Goosebumps books, and I think I posted a picture, and you were like, oh, you should read that on the podcast.
So it's your fault.
Wow. So it's your fault that we do this.
Oh, are you having a good time?
Wait, what?
Are you having a good time?
Oh, yeah.
Good. Yeah. So it's not my fault, Chris.
Well, it's your fault, but it's a good thing. What is that called?
Our two listeners
enriching
are
people's
very
lives.
Thankful.
Yeah. She gets credits.
She gets credit.
Oh, thank you.
Credit, not blame.
For incepting the...
Yeah.
Credit, not blame. That's an important distinction. Have you ever read Phantom Valley?
I never even heard of it before.
Okay, cool. Did you read... What's your relationship with, like, YA books? What was your favorite one?
I did not read much as a kid.
Okay.
Or as a young adult. Never been much of a reader, to be honest.
As a current adult, do you read?
I mean, I've got the Libby app. Do I use it? No. I have dyslexia, and I didn't realize that. I mean, I always knew it, but then it's like, you know, I should just like give myself some credit. Maybe that's why I struggle reading books. I try.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
But, yeah. Anyway, YA.
YA.
I read Hunger Games.
Okay, that counts.
As an adult.
Still counts.
You know. Eh.
I've never read Hunger Games. Are they good?
They're easy reads.
Yeah. Teen dystopia.
I tried to read Twilight and I got maybe two pages in and just thought, I'll just sit here silently on my break at Starbucks. A coworker let me borrow her book because I had nothing to do on my break. And then I was I'll just look at the wall.
That is that's a harsh takedown.
Gotta put that on the cover.
Yeah.
Twilight, I'll just look at the wall instead. Becca Eaton.
Well, you are joining us in the middle of the book Phantom Valley, the Evil One, which I think is the first Phantom Valley book. And we picked a really weird book to, like, this. You can't find this anywhere. As we found out shortly before recording this, we almost didn't record.
Wouldn't it be funny if that website was up now?
That would not be funny.
That would be hilarious.
The website that we use to rent these books for the most part and read on the show, openlibrary.org, is down because of, I think, a geostorm. This happened to us once before.
The sun hates us.
Oh, yeah. It's true. Having severe northern lights.
Oh, yeah.
After 10, we might potentially, maybe, be able to see them. I'm definitely going to go try.
Oh, yeah. Chris, you're fucked.
Yeah. Damn light pollution.
So we couldn't rent this book like we were going to, but I do have the book because it's my book for when I was a kid, and it's short, and we're not reading, you know, terribly much. So I was like, I could, and my phone camera's good. So I just texted.
What I want to know is, like, did you pick out the book as a kid? Or was your mom like, oh, this has a creepy doll on it. That little nerd's going to love this shit.
That's a really good question. And I am leaning towards my mom picked it out for me because I wasn't buying my own books. I would, I think, pick them out. And I was definitely reading Goosebumps. And so I have some books that my mom got me because it was like, oh, well, you like to read. And you're into Goosebumps, so I'll get you these other books that are kind of like Goosebumps. Because I would read the Goosebumps books really fast. And then, like, I don't remember how often he shit those things out. But, like, I would read a Goosebumps book, and then I would be like, well, now I want another book to read. So, if I had to guess, I think my mom probably discovered this series, which is hilarious.
I benefited from my mom being a very avid reader of trashy romance novels. So it's like every time we went to the mall, we went into the bookstore. But then I think she would always regret it because it would take me like 40 minutes to pick out what my next book would be. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, I want this one, but I could get this one, but I'm only allowed to get one. And then I would try to negotiate getting multiple books, and it would never work.
Didn't you go to the library?
We did that too.
I remember the romance novel section of the library because me and my sister would go through the books because there were stickers inside.
The romance novels?
They're not real stickers. It was like, mail this postcard to get more romance novels, but there would be like a sticker stamp or something.
It's like a sticker, or like a sticker.
I don't even know what it was, but they just the fact that they were stickers, we would go through and just take the stickers out.
And you had porn like right there.
Right in front of my face. No and idea. I was like, stickers.
You were like, flip,
like his throbbing, what? Penises. I don't care. Where are the hard pages in the middle, the cardboard pages with the stickers?
I bet they were hard.
Shut up. I regretted that as soon as I said it.
Anyway, thanks for listening to this episode. Below grade level. Oh, boy. Well, shall we continue our journey into Phantom Valley?
Yeah, I need to recap, though.
This is what I also love. Like, the books that we read on Open Library are scanned, so they're always like the pages are yellow and you can see like what people have written in them. And if someone scanned my copy of Phantom Valley, you would see this really cool green skeleton stamp that I put in
it doesn't look like a skeleton, it looks like he's ripped. He's got a bunch of muscles.
Just a ripped corpse.
Oh, little muscle down.
Look at him, like he's got bones. His hair's all standing up on end. He's like, oh, I'm
He just looks like a beach guy with like 50 abs.
Beach guy.
Beach bones.
What if I thought that that was a skeleton stamp when I was a kid and actually it was like a ripped dude? That would be so on brand.
Oh, yes.
You should post it online with like a poll.
Yes.
Spooky or...
The last time I did that, though, I was wrong about something and I hated hearing everyone tell me I was wrong. It was about the word if you're orange. Right, also. I thought, just especially thinking about it, not saying it out loud, I thought the word orange had one syllable.
Orange.
And you said it was two.
Yeah.
And I said orange. Orange is one syllable.
I said orange.
And then everyone on Facebook was like, it's two, you fucking idiot. So I'll never ask the internet's opinion again.
Yeah.
It's orange if you're from Dundalk.
It's fair.
It's one syllable.
It's a Baltimore thing.
Delaware Road is orange. Also no one just says one orange. Word that's one syllable.
Yeah.
I made the mistake of posting on Facebook today and getting absolutely nothing in return. Because I was, I've been watching this like Vice documentary on the 90s and I watched the episode on Beanie Babies. And I was just thinking like, man, that's so weird. Like the whole Beanie Baby thing is so weird. Like,
Things are going to pay for our kids' college.
Would a kid now in 2024 like understand? And I'm not like saying kids are stupid. I'm just saying like, would they understand like if you were telling them the story of like Beanie Babies being worth a lot of money and like people quitting their jobs to sell Beanie Babies on eBay? They'd be like, all right, Grandma, let's get you back to the...
Yeah.
But anyway, I posted a thing on Facebook and nobody said anything helpful.
Shocking. Do you want me to recap?
Oh, yeah.
So on the first episode, we met Monica, who's our main character. She's from Philly. Her whole entire family's in Italy, but she chose instead to go out west where her aunt lives to go to the Chilean Academy, which is a really good boarding school. And she loves the West and, like, doing stuff off the grid, kind of. I don't know. She just really loved not being in a city. She thought it was so cool. Much cooler than being in Italy. So she is from out of town.
She strikes me as the kind of kid who would have a lot of fun at, like, whatever local historical society building they have.
Oh, for sure. So, yeah, she's at the Chilean Academy. This is the town called Chilean? I don't really remember.
No, I think the town's called Phantom Valley.
Oh, the town's called Phantom Valley, duh. But the school's named after the Chilean family, mm-hmm. who were a huge family in that town. And a lot of them died violently, including... I'm just going to say at least one, because we don't know everything yet. It's only the first book, but yeah. One of them died in a fire at this school, and that is the wing where Monica is staying, is rebuilt from the burned down part where Allegra Chilean died. She met a girl and immediately became friends with Kim, who I just thought it was the cutest way for two people to make friends. Like, Kim was just doing cartwheels at her. They were like, we're best friends forever now.
Yeah. Very wholesome.
So they both do gymnastics. Let's see. Monica had like a weird small closet in her room, and it was like glowing red one night, and the next morning she like broke through a wall in the back of the closet and found a doll in there that wears a necklace that says "All your wishes." And she doesn't want to tell any of the teachers about it because she thinks they'll take it away. There's a girl named Bridget who is really good at gymnastics and is a bitch. And Monica also, like, super beefs it at gymnastics, which isn't Bridget's fault. She just does a really bad job at gymnastics.
Like, she did a really good job on everything except for, like, one thing.
Yeah. Well, she was, like, the best... gymnast in Philly, and I don't know, somehow this is a more competitive place for tween gymnasts, so she's not top of the class and is not happy about it.
Gymnasts are Phantom Valley's biggest export.
Yeah. So she's in a room with the doll thinking about being better at gymnastics than Bridget. The doll's eyes glow red, and then later that night Allegra the ghost shows up and like leads her out of the house into the graveyard.
Yeah.
Which, like, I think to her grave, probably. I would imagine. I didn't write that down, but I'm sure it was to her grave. And then the ghost disappears, and then the like
headmistress,
Mrs. Danita, shows up to bring her back inside. And I didn't give myself any context for this, but from what I remember, she goes back in her room and the doll was facing a different direction. I just wrote, the doll turns around! Exclamation point.
I think she had faced the doll towards the wall because the doll's eyes were glowing red and she was like, oh shit, that seems possessed. And then,
solve it.
And then when she came back from the ghost walk, the doll was turned back around, facing her bed. I also had the thought, I don't remember anything about these books. But I'm just like, all of this is so very specific. I wonder if every book deals with a ghost of the Chilean family. Or if, like, there's a different spooky thing that happens every book. But
yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's find out what happens to Monica this time. I kind of haven't read a physical book on this show in so long. Chapter 6. After breakfast the next day, Monica had to clear the tables in the dining hall. It was her work-study job, and her partner was Jimmy, who liked to chatter while he worked. That day, Monica hardly listened to a thing he said. Her mind kept running over the strange events of the previous night. After turning the doll around for the second time the night before, Monica had finally gone back to sleep. When she got up this morning, the doll was still facing the wall. How could it have turned around that first time, she wondered. Had someone come in and moved it? Did someone know about the doll?
Monica!
I don't know who's talking. Monica blinked and realized that Jimmy was calling
her. That's a good generic voice.
Yeah. And that's a real Jimmy voice, too. Monica blinked and realized that Jimmy was calling her.
Are you going deaf?
He said.
Or are you trying to see how many dishes you can pile up before they crash to the floor?
I'm sorry, Jimmy.
I'm so bad. Canadian now.
I know. I'm so bad at doing a Baltimore accent.
We need to get Brian and Joe on before we finish this book. Brian does such a good Baltimore accent.
I'm sorry, Jimmy, Monica said, slowly coming back to the present.
That boop sound's not coming in the recorded audio, right?
No, okay. It's just Facebook Messenger that I forgot to quit. She became aware then that she was holding a towering stack of dishes covered with dried egg and scraps of toast.
Ew.
Scary. It's
disgusting.
Earth calling Monica, Jimmy said in a fake alien voice. Monica to Earth, she said, putting the dishes on the steel counter separating the kitchen from the dining hall. Watch out for flying saucers. I don't know who said that. It doesn't make sense if Monica said that. Or, I don't know.
She's
whatever.
Leaning into the joke.
Going back for more dishes, she resolved to forget about the doll and the ghostly girl and to concentrate only on school and gymnastics. By last period, Monica had nearly succeeded. That day's gymnastics practice was especially important. It's hard to read this book because of how yellow it is.
It's all the cigarettes Jonathan was smoking as a child.
This Phantom Valley shit is great.
The girls were working on their routines for the first county meet, which was only 2 weeks away. Kim spotted Monica through all her routines. Ms. Potter's approving smile made Monica feel confident during her best events, the balance beam and floor exercise. But when she got to the vault, she barely cleared the horse and then stumbled on her dismount. Her second try was even worse. The more she tried to relax and do better, the more she tensed up. When Monica finished practicing, she spotted Kim. When the two girls took a break and sat on the bleachers to watch their teammates practice. Oh, then they took a break. Sorry. I literally can't fucking read or see.
Like, for real, though, isn't it weird reading a real book?
Well, I need it to be here, but the microphone's over here. Okay, I can do this, maybe.
Okay.
What? You're definitely the best, Kim assured Monica as they watched. Except for you know who. As she was saying that, they watched Bridget stumble during her floor routine. Monica couldn't help smiling to herself. But everything else Bridget did was flawless. Before doing the vault, Bridget turned to the bleachers and stared directly at Monica.
Oof.
Monica quickly turned her head, pretending she hadn't been watching Bridget.
There's nothing else to look at.
I wish I could vault, Monica thought. I wish I could somehow beat Bridget in the county competition. Her eyes moved back to Bridget. And then, just as Bridget executed a perfect landing, Monica had a sudden image of the doll, its eyes glowing red. Whoa, said Kim, nudging her. Are you all right? I'm fine, said Monica. I just had the strangest thought about something that happened last night. More spooky stuff in your room? What else happened? Tell me about it. Monica looked around to make sure Bridget couldn't overhear them, but Bridget was still down on the floor. She told Kim about the ghostly girl visitor and how the doll seemed to move. Wow, said Kim, her round face showing her excitement. I'm beginning to think that wing of the academy really is haunted. Monica shrugged.
Well, there was a fucking ghost.
I'm beginning to think.
It's a pretty big sign.
That the ghost might be haunting.
Monica shrugged. I'd think so too, except I don't believe in ghosts.
Ghosts.
Ghosts. Me neither, said Kim. Not really. But what if the girl really was a ghost? Maybe all she wanted was the doll. What do you mean? Well, if the doll is as old as you think, Mon, maybe it belonged to the girl before she was a ghost.
They're such maybe good friends that she's already calling her Mon.
Oh, yeah.
It's like day two.
Maybe she wants the doll back. Monica laughed. Kim, what would a ghost do with a doll? I don't know, but if she wants it, maybe you ought to let her have it. I don't know, maybe you should give it to Mrs. Danita and let the school deal with it.
But I want to keep it, Monica protested. It's really unusual. I want to see if I can find out about its history. You can find out about its history without keeping it, but it's an antique and I want it.
Hard. You don't have to do voices.
That's why yeah, I mandatory. Don't do them. But Becca, she's doing a good job.
Becca doesn't do voices.
But something about it gives me the creeps, said Kim. And even if the ghost was only a dream, it might mean something. Keeping that doll could end up causing you a lot of trouble. Monica practiced so hard for the gymnastics meet that she nearly forgot about the doll and her mysterious visitor. With Kim's help, she spent every spare minute practicing her vault. When she relaxed, she could do it perfectly. But as soon as she thought of Bridget, she'd feel herself tense up, lose confidence, and blow it. Finally, the day of the county meet arrived, and the girls were on the bus to Silverbell. Monica tried deep breathing to relax, but it didn't help. Nothing seemed to help her. Come on, Mon, relax, said Kim, sitting
beside her. Get her some Xanax. Deep breathing doesn't help, trust me.
Oh no. Sorry. Technical difficulties. Okay. Come on, Mon, relax. Just tell yourself how good you are. Except in the vault, said Monica gloomily. So what? You're in the running for individual prizes in all the other events. You really think so? Monica asked. Sure I do, said Kim. The only other Chilean girl who has a chance is Bridget. Feeling better, Monica followed her friend off to the bus and into the big Silverbell High School gym. Her palms were sweaty and her heart was beating rapidly, which always happened before her big meets. The gym seemed
too bright and too noisy. But she blocked it out as best she could. Seamless.
Perfect.
Thank you. I'm a professional. Professional guy who reads kids' books.
Final run-throughs.
Announced Miss Potter. Monica, you and Bridget work together on the vault. Donna and Tracy, the two of you should practice the uneven parallel bars. Monica walked over to where Bridget was standing by the horse. As I keep forgetting, like, it's not a horse.
And every time I'm just picturing a real horse because it's more fun.
Yes.
Just like a little pony.
Yeah. Monica walked over to where Bridget was standing by the horse as Miss Potter continued to rattle off names. I think I just remembered I was doing like a really annoying like kind of Texas loudmouth for Bridget.
Ah.
This your
that's a
first
good throat clear.
Thank you. I lost the voice. I lost it as you said that.
So, do the throat clear again.
Thank you. Hang on. Nice. This is your first county meet, Bridget said, doing stretches on the horse. That doesn't work at all. Yes.
There's gold in them Dar Hills.
Yes, said Monica, relieved that Bridget was being nice. Don't worry, Bridget said. I'm sure you'll do fine. She gave Monica a friendly wink before stepping back to prepare for a practice run. Monica watched as she sprinted up to the beatboard, cartwheeled in midair, and landed on her hands in the center of the horse. Spook is really
hard.
Assuming that I know things about gymnastics.
Yeah. Every single thing they do looks impossible, so it all sounds really impressive.
Yeah, whenever I see any gymnast do anything, I'm like, humans aren't supposed to.
Yeah. You belong on the ground.
You belong on the ground. Why is your body doing that? But just as she began to flip into her dismount, something went wrong. Instead of the perfect smooth landing Bridget had done so many times, Her body suddenly shifted off balance, and as Monica watched in horror, Bridget fell, landing on her arm and screaming in pain. Shit.
I knew it.
The doll did it. Okay. Let me just make sure. Did I do this right? Yes. Okay. So this page is yours. I had to guess which,
oh my God,
which of these pages we would do like a double because
the start of the chapter.
Yeah, yeah. But you're good.
Chapter 7. Oh, Bridget cried. My wrist, my wrist. Her heart thudding, Monica knelt down beside Bridget, who was cradling her wrist and sobbing. Her hand was bent at an unnatural angle. Ms. Potter nudged Monica aside as someone came running with a stretcher. To her relief, Monica saw Bridget move her arm and say something to Ms. Potter. Don't try to move, Ms. Potter ordered. Everything will be all right. A few minutes later, an ambulance came and took Bridget to Silverbell Hospital emergency room. Mr. Myers, the Chilean volleyball coach who had come to watch the meet, went with her because Ms. Potter had to stay with the team. As soon as Bridget left, Ms. Potter put her arm around Monica. Don't feel bad, dear, she said. It wasn't your fault. It was an accident, and there was no way you could have prevented it, even though you were spotting her.
Oh, damn.
There was nothing you could have done. Nothing.
I have two thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Shit, what was my first thought?
How do you spot someone? Like, your first thought was that you have two thoughts.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh,
like, are you just watching and being like, I hope you don't fall. Well, like, what is she going to do about it?
Yeah. You break her fall with your body?
Yeah, just dive under.
Again, gymnasts, they go up in the air and they're like...
Yeah.
My first thought was a guy coming up with the stretcher. I was like, that was fast. And then I thought grimly, oh, I bet there's guys like that at every single gymnast thing, just like waiting for someone to land on their head. Not like waiting, like hoping, but just like...
My sister did competition cheerleading, and it was an event at Disney World. And a girl got thrown up in the air, and she was caught wrong, and her eye popped out of her head.
No!
What? What?
Mm-hmm.
That's not where I thought that was going to go!
I was there.
Her eye? You were there?
And my mom was there, who's a nurse, so she rushes down.
You told me about it, and I definitely tried to block it out.
Her.
And the one thing that grosses my mom out is eyes. So she rushed down, and I was just like, I'm not a nurse today.
She's like,
I'm going to sit this one out.
Were they able to save the eye?
Oh, yeah. I think they just popped it back.
No!
Okay. I do know that if you can't do that, just you're supposed to put like a cup over it.
The dangle eye?
Yeah.
Just like, until keep, like, you debris out of it. Like,
oh, my God.
Oh. Oh,
and surprisingly, eyes heal
awful.
Very fast.
I don't think I could ever stop throwing up.
Well, Heather was a pug owner. It continues to be a pug owner. My sister.
Yeah.
One of them lost an eye.
You gotta pop those eyes in.
Yeah.
My grandmother
said when it's a dog. If your pug pops an eye, you're supposed to pop it.
Same thing with my grandmother had two like purebred shih tzus. And
I thought you were going to say your grandmother.
Same thing with my grandma.
Same thing with my grandma. We would just be like, oh, Graham, hang on a second.
We could never startle her.
She... God. No, she had these two inbred. No, purebred. Inbred. They're the same. That's the same thing.
Yeah, it is.
Synonymous.
I hated those dogs so much.
It wasn't their fault. They were little monsters.
I know. It wasn't their fault, but they were
They were so warty and disgusting, and they sounded like little pigs, but it wasn't their
around,
fault.
They had horrible breathing problems, and they were just like... Like, if they could have talked, they would have walked into every room saying, kill me. But also, yeah, their eyes were horrible because they were, like, constantly trying to jump out
bulging.
Of their skulls. My second thought was every time I hear Silver Bell in here, I just think Silver Bell.
Yeah, me too.
All right, cool.
This is the Christmas town. Chilean's the old west town. This is Christmas town.
It's just an area of themed towns. Yeah. So, like Nightmare Before Christmas. Yes.
All right. Is she going to be okay? Monica asked. Ms. Potter frowned. Her wrist may be broken. If it is, she looks
her
able
eyes
to
in her
for
socket.
A while. Patting Monica briskly on the shoulder, she said, I guess it's up to you now. You're our second best gymnast. For some reason, instead of putting pressure on Monica, Ms. Potter's words relaxed her. like a psychopath.
I know.
You're our second best gymnast.
That's a really shitty thing for a teacher to say.
Without Bridget to worry about, you can be the best. Oh, hold on. Set a voice in her head. So, without Bridget to worry about, you can be the best. Said a voice in her head, and she knew it was true.
Oh.
Monica waited for her events, feeling as if she were in a dream. Before each of her routines, she could see herself competing and see herself doing her very best.
Monica's being a real Monica. All her,
it was as if all her wishes had come true. First was the vault. If only I don't blow this, she thought. But instead of being nervous, she was confident and certain that she would succeed. She ran forward, flipped, pushed off the horse, and then, before she could even think, landed in a perfect dismount.
Damn.
Minutes later, she heard the judges rank her. Second. Second in the vault. Her worst event. Not bad! After that, it was easy.
The I was gonna say, Jesus, she's still second and Bridget's not even there?
She's just, like, she's good, but she's not that good.
That's really funny. It's like a monkey's paw situation, but it's just like nothing devastating.
Yeah, you'll be better like, than Bridget, but not by much.
Yeah, it's the middle of the road. Wishes.
Bridget broke her wrist, but not her feet.
Yeah.
So she could still do other things.
Chris, gross.
The second event was, that is really gross. This is a child, Jonathan.
Oh,
the second event was the uneven parallel bars. Monica felt weightless as she went through her routine. Even the hardest twists suddenly seemed easy. She wasn't surprised when the judge ranked her first. Next, she took first in the balance beam. And finally, another first in the floor routine. 1 second, three firsts. She couldn't believe it until she heard it announced that she was first overall. You've won, Kim screamed in her ear. You're number one at the whole meet. The other girls on the team
jumped and screamed and hugged her. Mrs. Potter was hugging her too. We're so proud of you, Monica, she said. Your scores are the best a Chilene girl has ever gotten in a countywide meet. Really? Monica was grinning so hard her face actually hurt. Really, repeated Mrs. Potter. And of course, you've got the top spot on the team now. As she rode on the bus back to the academy, Monica couldn't stop thinking about the past few hours. Number one in the meet, number one on the team. When they reached the school, everyone scrambled off the bus and took off to their rooms. Well, you did it. Said
Bye.
Patting Monica on the back. See you tomorrow. My dad's waiting for me in the van.
Oh, I forgot she doesn't live there.
Did he not go to the
meet? Beg him. Said he didn't go to watch. Drinking in the chill night air. I won, she thought over and over. I won, she thought as she climbed the stairs to her room. I won. She unpacked her gym bag and stowed it in the... and stowed it in the closet. When she crossed to the bureau to get her nightgown, her eyes fell on the doll. A wave of terror tore through her body. The doll's eyes were glowing bright red again. Then she noticed something else, the doll's necklace, which she hadn't really looked at since the morning when she found the doll. The reflection from the eyes made the necklace glow now. Monica took a closer look at it and felt a sudden chill. All your wishes, the words on the necklace said.
I totally forgot that's what that necklace said. Suddenly, an overwhelming sense of guilt came over her. Does this mean I could have caused Bridget's accident?
Yes. That's exactly what it means.
She continued to stare at the doll's glowing red eyes and the strange message around its neck. All your wishes, she whispered. All my wishes have come true. Chapter 8. Monica waved at three kids she knew from Spanish class as she rushed to the gym a few days later. Important detail. It seemed as if she knew practically everyone in school now, and they knew her. Part of it was winning the county gymnastics meet, but it was also, Monica realized, because she was happy, and everyone could tell. Kim greeted her outside the locker room.
Yeah, everyone loves a gloater.
She's so annoying, that new girl. Kim greeted her outside the locker room.
I'm having a skating party for my birthday on Saturday, she said. I'd love it if you could come.
Sounds great, said Monica.
It's at Skate World, Kim went on.
Skate Land?
Yes.
I think you meant to say Skate Land.
It's Skate Land. Happy birthday.
Do they have Skate Land in Annapolis?
I know I did it. I know I went to a skating rink, so somewhere around there. I probably had to go to, like, Severna Park.
Skate with the trash.
Skate with the trash!
Severna Park was nice.
I once went to a middle school skate night, and I slipped and fell, and my jeans ripped open.
Where?
In the back, and I hid in the bathroom until the end.
Oh, no!
That's so sad.
That's so sad.
I forgot about it until this very moment, so thank you, book.
I definitely...
Yeah, Severna Park was nice for everyone, except for Jonathan, who's from Annapolis.
Except for Annapolitan. Okay, don't say me.
Well, Annapolitans, not Jonathan.
My grandmother lived in Severna Park. I was there all the time. Yeah, Annapolis had a bowling alley.
Crofton had a skating rink.
Crofton? That's probably where I went then.
Yeah.
That's okay.
I think it was a skate land.
I was literally thinking, like, are there others?
Are there other skate lands?
No, like, is there anything other than skate land?
I've never seen a skating rink other than skate land.
Steve Skateland really had a monopoly on the skating rink.
Well, I only ever went to one, and it was in Dundalk. It was right at Merritt Boulevard, so that was the only place we would go for skating birthday parties.
Roller skating, charged with puberty.
It was the best worst pizza.
Skate
fond memories of that pie.
It's at Skate Land, Kim went on. They've got colored lights and great music. And then afterward, I thought you could come home with me and spend the night.
I'd love to. I'll just have to get permission from Mrs. Danita. Good, it's settled. I guess I'm pretty lucky to have the most popular girl at school come to my party, Kim added mischievously. Has a crush.
Kim's so sweet. I do love her, though.
Give me a break, said Monica.
She's just hyping her up all the time. Like, Monica doesn't do anything nice for Kim. And Kim's like, you're the best gymnast that has ever lived.
Kim really is a good friend.
Yeah.
Be a Kim.
Yeah. Be a Kim in a world of Monicas.
Oh, damn.
Well, now that you won the competition, everyone wants to know you. And by the way, guess who's back at school? Monica felt her heart sink. Bridget, she guessed. How's she doing? She's fine, except she has to wear a cast for a few weeks. But I hear she isn't too happy about losing first place on her team. I don't blame her. I still feel really bad about what happened. I keep thinking that maybe I can make it up to her some way. Well, here's your chance. Monica followed Kim's gaze and saw Bridget and her roommate Peggy coming toward them. I don't remember a Peggy.
I don't either.
As usual, Bridget was dressed in expensive clothes, a cashmere sweater over designer jeans. Her left arm was in a sling made from a flowered silk scarf, and she had a soft leather jacket draped over her shoulders. Bridget was laughing at something.
Book is really doing its work, making me hate this girl. Aww.
Bridget was laughing at something Peggy had said, but as soon as she saw Monica, her smile disappeared. Hi, Bridget, Monica said, trying to sound cheerful and friendly. How are you feeling? I'm fine, said Bridget, her expression cold. Before Monica could think of what to say next, Kim spoke up. Great jacket, Bridget, she said. Bridget's face relaxed in a smile. My parents got it for me while I was in the hospital. It's really beautiful, said Monica, still trying to be friendly, and it goes perfectly with your outfit. See, I think Monica's in love with Bridget. She's fucking obsessed.
Yeah.
Do you really think so? Bridget said, staring directly at Monica. I love it, said Monica, relieved that Bridget was at least talking to her.
I've always wished I could have one like it, but they're too expensive for me. Bridget's expression changed again. What, did we have a voice for Bridget?
I was doing like loud Texan, but as a teenage Texan. If a teenage girl is a loud brash Texan.
I'm just doing hoity-toity then.
Yeah.
Oh, is that right? She said. Well, I guess you can't have everything you want. It
probably
works.
Better credit voice.
What do you mean? said Monica, surprised by Bridget's nasty tone of voice.
Nailed it.
I mean that you already got what you wanted most. And Bridget tapped her right hand on the cast. Monica was horrified at what she was hearing. Bridget, that's not true. I feel terrible about your accident. Sure you do. Except with me off the team, you made first place. You're glad I was hurt, Monica. Why don't you just admit it? The next word's Bridget, so I thought it was admidget.
Admit it, Bridget. Like, damn it, Janet.
I was just going to say, I love that Rocky Horror song. Bridget, admit it, Bridget.
Bridget, her pretty face twisting with anger and jealousy, cut Monica off. I know what you're thinking. You think you can be nice to me and I'll forget what you did. Well, it won't work, Monica. I know what you're up to and I'm going to make sure everybody else knows too. Gathering her jacket around her shoulders, Bridget pushed between Monica and Kim and went down the hall. Peggy stood still a moment, obviously embarrassed. Then she whispered a quick, bye, and hurried after her friend. Monica stood staring after Bridget in anger and dismay. Come on, Monica. Kim put an arm around her friend's shoulder. Don't pay attention to Bridget. I told you, she's a jerk. But she thinks I wanted her to fall, and she's telling everyone. No one will believe her, said Kim. What could you
have done to hurt her? Let's have a great time this weekend and forget all about Bridget. By Sunday afternoon, Monica had almost forgotten the incident with Bridget. The skating party had been fun, and so had the rest of the weekend.
We didn't even get a scene at the skating party.
I know.
I was looking forward to that.
I want
to
know, like, who's got a crush on
who. Over that.
Yeah, I want to know who skated with who when they did the couple skate.
Yes. Who was just standing off to the side playing arcade games the entire time? Yeah. Jimmy, definitely.
Oh. Yes.
Me with ripped pants.
Oh, no.
Wow, okay. So, not only was the skating party fun, check this out. They had spent all day Sunday eating homemade food and watching videos.
Homemade
food?
Your
mom is a great cook.
Videos?
Children don't get excited over that.
That's true. That's true. Like,
wow. If anything, mashed potatoes.
Kids hate homemade food. Kids are like, give me Lunchables.
This pizza and shit.
I want pizza and chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
Funny you mentioned pizza. What do we think mom might have made?
Homemade pizza sucks. It's good, but it's never big enough. Homemade pizza's too small.
It's always small and, like, burned.
Yeah.
If you can make pizza at home better than what I just said, fucking prove it.
Well, we haven't had Kim's mom's pizza.
It's true. We don't know how they make pizza in Phantom Valley.
Yeah. I can't believe she makes pizza from scratch.
It's called Mamino's.
Oh.
No response to that.
Had to have a long enough pause after the awe.
I know, said Kim, flopping down on her bed. She makes all kinds of great things. She says it's because she likes to eat so much. Jesus. She watched Monica for a moment. I've had the most wonderful birthday weekend, she said. Did you have a good time? I had a great time, but it went by too fast. Both your parents are so nice. In fact, your dad reminds me of my dad. Really? Yeah, I hate to admit it, Monica went on. But being here has made me miss my family, even my baby sister. Kim was sympathetic. I'd hate to be away from my folks, she admitted.
These kids are so good.
I know, right?
God. Like, I didn't even hate my mom, but I never was at someone else's house going, like, I miss my mom.
Yeah, no. Sleepovers were so fun, and gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
You order pizza. Mm-hmm.
Yes. You order pizza. You watch, if you're me and 12, you watch Predator 2, and then pause it when there's boobs on screen.
Of course.
As you do. And then you drink a bunch of 20-ounce Cokes and you don't sleep.
All right. On the other hand, I love Chilean. This just... Chilean feels like a Smurfy sort of word to them at this point.
Yeah.
Did you say Smurfy?
Don't Chilean yourself.
Oh, man. It does.
All right, let's get through this.
I keep wanting to say Chilean.
Chilean? Yeah.
Like Chilean bass.
I've never seen a word like Chilean before.
Yeah.
Chilean is nothing.
We really struggled hard with it. Like, oh, is it just two syllables? Like, that's, yeah, I don't know. It's too much.
Yeah, it's just unpleasant to say.
It really is.
And it doesn't, yeah, I know we were saying this last time, but it's, I guess they want it to sound spooky because of chill, but it doesn't even sound spooky at all. It sounds like nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they keep using chill in the air, a chill. Like, oh, yeah. Chilean. There we go. Oh, yeah. Halloween.
You can say it like that every time.
Chilean.
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 Well, you're invited Chilean. To come home with me anytime you want. Kim, wow. Kim laid back on the pillows and held her wrists up in the air. I just love my new bracelet, she said. She turned her arm and admired the delicate silver bracelets her parents had given her for her birthday. It was a Navajo design, inset with alternating circles of turquoise and mother of pearl.
Cool, 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 cool.
Let's see where this is headed.
It's beautiful, Monica agreed. I've got a sweater that would go with it perfectly. Want to borrow it?
You were doing pretty good until the last part.
Until borrow. I was like, because I see O, and I'm like, I know how to do this. And then I'm like, no, I don't.
Borrow?
Yeah, sometimes borrow. It's not an E sound. It's, I don't even know.
Yeah.
But yeah, borrow.
Borrow. Yeah.
Borrow.
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 Borrow. Want to borrow it?
See, that was better.
Nailed it.
Sure, said Kim. Thanks. And I love the sweatshirt you got me.
Are they hobbits? Does everyone get a gift on someone else's birthday?
Or? I'm just...
Did Kim say that?
Kim said that.
Yeah.
Oh.
This next part, I was... Okay, the next words, I was like, who's saying this? All aboard! Kim's father's voice boomed from downstairs.
Aww, that's a dad
Please
thing to
say.
Say
the pizza train.
come on, said Kim. Dad's ready to take you back to school. I'll ride along to keep you company. Good. I can give you the sweater then. You're struggling so hard. On
what?
The drive back
Did
to school.
Did she not give it to her already?
I've got... Oh, no, she says I've got a sweater that would go with it.
They're
at Kim's house.
Yes.
On the drive back to school, Kim told her dad about an English paper she was working on while Monica gazed out the window. The valley was beautiful with its thick pine forest, red rocks, and rugged purple mountains below the western sky. Majestic.
In case you forgot, we're in the west.
It's in the west. It was close to sunset when the dark bulk of the academy loomed up in front of them. Look, said Kim. Monica followed Kim's finger to a point high above the academy where a hawk circled. Only in the west, she thought. We have
also in Towson
hawks here, bitch.
No birds in Philadelphia. The air pollution's just
like if
this
you
was
saw
the
a,
90s.
If you saw a tumbleweed, I would be like, yeah. Only in the west,
or like
I
an
saw
armadillo.
One the other day.
You
did
on.
Not see a tumbleweed, Chris.
I did.
What
was it?
Was
it plastic bag?
Cats?
It was an actual tumbleweed rolling across Route 40.
Are you sure it wasn't just a rat king? A tumbleweed.
It was in Harford County. So.
That's as old west as we get around here. Kim went upstairs with Monica so she could get the sweater.
I guess the ghost didn't come back to get her doll, Kim observed as they entered the room. Will you stop that? Said Monica, laughing. I told you the ghost was just a dream. More like a nightmare. Kim idly picked up the doll and turned it over in her hands. It's just so strange, she said. Imagine it being locked away in that closet all these years. I know, said Monica, handing Kim a pretty beige sweater. That's beige the sweater.
I know it will go sense. With this turquoise and silver bracelet.
The color's called beige dentist sweater.
My eggshell white sweater. Well, it was the 90s. Thanks, Kim replaced the doll on the bureau. This is lovely, she said, admiring the sweater. I guess I better go.
Wait, what?
You're up there.
Oh. See you tomorrow, and thanks for coming to my birthday. Thank you, said Monica. It was really great. And tell your mom. At that moment, there was a knock on the door. Kim, who was closest, opened it. Surprised, the two girls saw Mrs. Danita standing there with Bridget. There was something very wrong with Bridget. Her usually pretty and delicate features were red and puffy. Before Monica could say anything, Bridget pointed her finger at Monica and began shouting. She took it, she said. She's a thief!
What?
Oh, she's been crying.
Oh, the jacket.
Oh.
That she wished for.
Oh!
Chapter 9 is, I'm assuming that's my page. Okay. It was her, Bridget said, close to hysteria. She stole it. She's the one. Stole what? Said Monica, bewildered. What are you talking about? That's it. Play innocent, said Bridget. But you aren't going to get away. Bridget, please, Mrs. Danita, said Mrs. Danita sharply. Looking as if she'd been slapped, Bridget stopped shouting, but she continued to glare at Monica. I'm sorry about this, Monica, Mrs. Danita apologized. Bridget's new leather jacket is missing. And Monica stole it, Bridget interjected. She caused my accident, and now she stole my leather jacket. Bridget, be quiet.
How could she, Mrs. though, have Danita caused the... Like, we know that... We know what happened. We know the doll did it.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're Bridget, like, chill the fuck out. Yeah. Chilling out.
Chilling out. Oh, sorry, I'm so tired. Bridget, be quiet, Mrs. Danita said. What did you say?
I said, how dare you?
Fuck you. If you don't quiet down, I'll have to ask you to wait downstairs. Appearing more embarrassed than ever, Mrs. Danita forced herself to continue. Now, I'm certainly not accusing you of anything, Monica, but Bridget is convinced that you took her jacket.
Did we have a voice for Mrs. Danita?
It was like, oh, I'd never, that kind of thing. I remember I remember Jordan working himself up to like do a voice, and then it was like, oh no, and then he was like, oh, that's not it. And I was like, no, do that.
Yeah,
do
that. Like, yes, that is
that
it.
Is absolutely it. Yes, you were correct.
What? I never, cried Monica, horrified. How could anyone think such a thing? I told you, I'm not accusing you, Mrs. Danita said, but Bridget made the accusations, and I felt it was best to confront you with. An odd expression came over Mrs. Danita's face. What a nice doll! She walked over to the bureau, picked up the doll, and asked, is this from your childhood? For a moment, Monica was speechless.
It's her worst nightmare. An adult fighting the doll.
I really haven't had it that long, she said, not daring to meet Kim's eyes. It's a beautiful antique, said Mrs. Danita. I wonder how old it... Who cares about the doll, said Bridget. She took my jacket. Mrs. Danita shot her a look of disapproval, which quieted her down. Monica's cheeks burned with indignation, but at the same time she felt cold inside. Cold with anger. She glanced around the room at her visitors. Mrs. Danita seemed to be embarrassed. Bridget was smirking, and Kim appeared bewildered and slightly frightened. Only the doll, which Mrs. Danita had put back on the bureau, had its usual stony expression and stared at Monica with its pale blue eyes. Monica took a deep breath. I didn't take Bridget's jacket, Mrs. Danita, she said as calmly as she could. I haven't even seen it since the day she wore it to school. If you don't believe me, you're welcome to search my room.
Oh, no.
I'm sure that won't be necessary, said Mrs. Danita.
Next.
Go on, said Monica. Take a look.
No, Monica, no. It's gonna be in your dresser.
Oh, no.
Oh, no!
Miss Danita half-heartedly opened and shut the closet door. Come on, Bridget, she urged. There's no sign of the jacket here. And Monica has denied. She's a liar, cried Bridget. She took it. I know she did. She began to open and close drawers, checking under piles of sweaters and t-shirts. She yanked open the closet doors and began to rummage through Monica's clothes. That's enough, Bridget, said Miss Danita. Now come on. Oh, let her look. I'm doing all sorts of weird voices, said Monica. I don't have anything to hide. There's no leather jacket in here.
There's a difference between like...
And what is this? Cried Bridget.
There's a difference between like having nothing to hide and being like, yeah, just fucking trash my room.
Yeah.
Like, go through all of my shit.
Well, she got her up comments.
I know. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. I lost my place. Okay. Then what is this? Cried Bridget, emerging from the closet. In her hand was the leather jacket hanging from a padded satin hanger. See? Bridget turned to Miss Danita, who was now frowning. I told you she took it. Well, Monica, the older woman said. Sounding perplexed, can you explain this? For a moment, Monica thought she must have been having a nightmare. This couldn't be happening, but the tone of disappointment in Miss Danita's voice convinced her that it was real. Monica stared at Miss Danita. No, she whispered, I don't have any idea how the jacket got in my closet, but I promise you I did not put it there. I didn't take it, Miss Danita. Please believe me. Miss Danita slowly shook her head. I don't know what to believe, she said, obviously upset. Because she's a thief, said Bridget. My jacket was in her closet, Miss Danita.
I'm going to get to the bottom of this, Miss Danita
said.
Get
is what you were struggling with.
Huh? I'm sorry, what?
I said get is what you were struggling with.
I was struggling with all of it. But this isn't the time or place. Monica, see me in my office tomorrow morning. Bridget, come on. With a self-satisfied smile, Bridget followed the woman out, clutching her jacket. After they had gone, Monica leaned against the door in despair. I don't believe this. Me neither, said Kim. I didn't take the jacket. I know you didn't. I know you would never do anything like that, but... Kim's voice trailed off. But how did it get in my closet? I can't even imagine. I know, said Kim suddenly. Maybe Bridget put it there herself when you were gone this weekend to get you in trouble. In fact, that must be what happened. Maybe. But deep down, Monica didn't believe that anyone, even Bridget, would do something so spiteful. You'll see, said Kim. I don't know how, but somehow I'm going to prove that Bridget or her drippy roommate Peggy did this. Her drippy roommate Peggy.
Gross.
Monica...
Occam's razor dictates that the simplest explanation is the explanation.
Monica thanked her, but she felt so awful she didn't have much hope that Kim could prove anything. Outside Monica's window, a horn sounded. Oops, that must be my dad. I've got to go. Kim gave Monica a quick hug.
He really needs to get that horn fixed.
Try not to worry, Mom, she said. I'll see you tomorrow. Monica walked over to the window and watched as her friend ran out the back door and climbed into her father's blue van. She continued to watch as the van drove down the red dirt road and disappeared around the bend toward town. Though there was a beautiful sunset, Monica barely noticed it.
All she could think about was the jacket. How had it gotten in her closet? Had Bridget or her roommate planted it there? Or was there some other explanation? Monica turned back to the room and saw that the doll's eyes were glowing red. Maybe it was the fucking doll, Monica. Monica closed her own eyes. I am imagining this, she said aloud. I must be. And to her relief, when she opened her eyes, the doll's eyes were their usual shade of blue. And the message on the doll's necklace was the same. All your wishes. Why wouldn't it be the same? Like, why would you expect it to not say that? Chapter 10. The next morning, Monica wasn't surprised when Ms. Danita informed her that she was on probation. She could see the pain in Mrs. Danita's eyes and knew the headmistress felt terrible about it too. But as she told Monica, she felt she had no choice. Feeling as if she were inside a dark cloud, Monica left the office. How could this have happened to her? She hadn't done anything wrong, and now she was on probation. If anything else went wrong, she could get kicked out of school. For the next few days, she continued to move around in her cloud. She avoided Bridget as much as possible. This was pretty easy, even in gymnastics, since Bridget had to sit on the sidelines till her wrist was healed. Kim did everything she could to cheer up Monica, and eventually it did begin to work. Monica did feel better. It was partly knowing she had such a good friend, and partly because she'd gotten even busier with schoolwork. She didn't have time to think of other things. Midterms were coming up in a few weeks.
She had to study for exams in math and Spanish, write a long essay in English, and write a paper for history. It was a good thing she already knew how to speak English, because that would make writing the long essay easier. Mr. Taylor, the history teacher, said the paper had to be on an aspect of regional history. I'm going to do my paper on the First Continental Railroad, Kim told Monica. Did the railroad go through here? Asked Monica. It went through one edge of Phantom Valley, and besides, my great-great-grandfather worked on it. That sounds interesting. But Monica was barely listening as Kim went on to talk about her family and the railroad. What a bad friend. Kim had just given her an idea. Mon, what are you going to write yours on? The Chalene family, Monica said. As she said it, she realized that the topic would be perfect. The Chalenes! Kim stared at her as if she had announced she was going to write about flying saucers landing in Phantom Valley. But they weren't famous. They're an important part of local history, said Monica. The Chalenes helped settle Phantom Valley. Besides, I want to find out more about Allegra, and this is the perfect chance. Because you're living in her room? Well, partly, Monica admitted. And also, I have a feeling that all the spooky stuff with the doll and the ghost has something to do with the Chalene family. Really? What gave it away? Sometime later. After gymnastics practice, Monica went to the school library, which was on the top floor of the wing opposite the wing her room was in. Every time Monica entered the library, she felt thrilled by the huge old room, with its
vaulted windows, shiny wooden bookcases, and musty, dusty smells.
I love those smells.
Musty, dusty smells.
That was like straight up HGTV. It was perfect.
Yay, we did.
I'm gonna go run outside really fast because Katie said she could see the northern lights from her house.
Oh shit!
So I'm gonna run outside. Oh. I'll report back if I actually could see them. Huh?
Katie lives in Harford County.
I don't care, Chris. I'm gonna run outside.
Us city folks with light pollution will just stay inside and read.
Are we gonna take a? Okay, we're gonna take an Aurora Borealis break.
The polished wood paneling was lined with photographs and portraits. In the photographs, she recognized the academy building from the days when it was newer and smaller. Over the years, she could see the building grow as new wings and outbuildings were added. The portraits of men, women, and children from the 1800s were hung along one wall. Are any of these people Chileans? She asked.
They could be.
I know. Yeah.
Chalenes.
Probably the people that built the school.
Is it the Southwest? I mean, like New Mexico, maybe.
The librarian, a pleasant gray-haired woman named Mrs. Martin, removed her glasses and blew on the lenses before polishing them on a Kleenex. Yes, they're all members of the Chaline family, she said. This was once their family home, you know. I know, said Monica. She walked slowly along the wall, taking in the images of the dozens of departed Chalines. Fascinated, she read the names. Ebenezer, Aldrich, Ramona, Cuthbert. They're all cool names, she thought. But where is Allegra? Then she remembered that Allegra had been a member of the last Chaline family to live there. She walked to the end of the informal portrait gallery where the photos were, well, the photos, though still old, were newer and more modern than the others. Here she found a group of family portraits, the parents, Valentin and Morgana.
What? What?
You know, Valentin Chaline and Morgana Chaline.
Oh my god. They're all together spooky.
And their child Allegra. Consult your pharmacist now.
Oh man.
Well, their portrait was in the top row, and below them were portraits of their four children, Jeb, Prudence, Hortensia, Ambie, but no Allegra.
Ambie?
How do you spell Ambie?
A-M-B-E-Y.
But, okay. Like, one of them's named Ambie. Jeb.
Jeb?
Jeb and Ambien.
Zoloft Chaline.
Lexapro Chili.
Can't forget Hortensia and Prudence, though. Yeah. I mean,
Hortensia.
I like Hortensia.
Hortensia.
What do they call her for short?
Like... Yeah, what's even a nickname for Hortensia?
Hey, Horty, come down for dinner. Hey,
Horty.
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 Tense? That's not good.
I would go by Horty.
Horty. Horty with a T.
Horty. Horty. Are you looking for the northern lights?
I'm trying to look for them. There, you can see them, or not right now, but a little picture? Earlier. Katie didn't, but I just Googled it. And yeah, this picture's from Cockeysville.
Fuck it right off. What?
That looks camera.
All right. Yeah, I don't know where this person is, but yeah.
What? I want to see that shit.
I know.
Fair.
Well, it's 8:04. You said 10 p.m., so
that's
maybe later
what the
it'll
internet
be.
Said.
Maybe
stupid
it'll be
light pollution. Stupid can.
Damn thorns.
Next to the portrait of Ambie, a serious-looking young boy with curly dark hair. Was a faded rectangle on the wall. Uh-oh. A rectangle the size of a small picture. Monica was certain that
the picture
the
size of a picture
had to be of
had to be of Allegra's. Could you imagine? But where was it, and why had it been removed? Excuse me, she said, approaching the librarian again. Are there any other pictures of the Chalines here? Or any information about them? Why, yes, said Miss Martin, again removing her reading glasses. There's a large drawer filled with family papers locked away in the stacks. And let me think, yes, there's a book that was privately printed about 50 years ago. What? Detailing the history of the Chalines and some of the other pioneer families in Phantom Valley. Let me just look. What's a privately printed book? Like...
a book you have custom made just for you.
That's crazy.
Rich.
Yep. Miss Martin got up from her desk and moved a sliding wooden ladder along a tall bookcase. It's your dream.
Yes. I want a bookcase ladder.
She climbed the ladder and reached up to the highest shelf for a thick, dusty, green, privately printed book. Here you are, she said, climbing down the ladder and handing the book to Monica. Thanks, said Monica. The cover was faded, but she could easily make out the title. The Pioneers of Phantom Valley. She took the book to a table and began to leaf through it. The first half of the book was all about the geography and history of Phantom Valley. There were chapters... I know. There were chapters on agriculture, mining, and the Native Americans who had lived there earlier. I'm not going to do a snooze to that because that would be mean and not cool. The first family to come to the valley had been named Bendigo.
What?
I don't know.
Like Wendigo, but with a B?
Literally, okay. Like Wendigo, but with a B.
Bendigo.
This is Wendigo, Bendigo? And this is his brother Bendigo.
Like, is this California? Is it Spanish settlers? Or?
But they had soon been followed
no,
by the
No, it's gotta be Bendigo.
It's Bendigo. Monica eagerly flipped through the chapter about the Chileans. She learned that Phantom Valley had been partially settled by Ebenezer Chilean and his six brothers. Oh, there's nothing else to do back then, I guess. There were more than a dozen old photos and drawings from the 1860s showing the ancient Native American village in the cliffs, a small settlement of log cabins, and men and women clearing land and planting crops.
What? Where am I?
Up there. I just remember this is the thing that happened when we would read books for real, is when you would hand the book to another person and they were like, which
yeah,
page?
I don't know which page you were on. There were more pictures of old Ebenezer Chilean and his many children, nieces, and nephews than there had been on the wall. The pictures were arranged chronologically throughout the chapter, the most recent ones being near the end of it. I can't read this far. I used to have... Well, I just said it twice because I feel like I can't read.
Oh, yeah.
Because my eyes are bad. And I used to be able to read this book from, like, across the room. And now I'm like...
Show off.
Well, now my eyes are bad, so...
No.
Enjoy. As she turned over the last page, Monica felt as if her heart had stopped beating. There, in the bottom center of the page, was a photograph of a young girl dressed in a high-collared dress holding a doll. The doll was slim and dark with thick, dark hair pulled back on the sides. Wait, the girl.
Oh,
the
girl.
I know, I was like, what? That's weird to say about a doll. I can't read. The girl was slim and dark with thick, dark hair pulled back on the sides. On her right cheek, oh, I forgot about this, barely visible, was a birthmark in the shape of a heart. I forgot about the heart-shaped birthmark.
I did not remember that.
Because I didn't write it down, and it was too weird to remember.
Yeah.
It was the same girl Monica had seen in her room, but this one wasn't a ghost, and the doll was the same one that was now sitting on Monica's dresser. The caption under the picture identified the girl as Allegra Chilean. But on the photograph itself, someone had written, The Evil One.
Oh, shit!
That's the title.
That's the name of the book!
Are we still reading?
Yeah.
I want to go sit outside in the dark with a blanket.
Well, this is the last chapter we're doing.
Okay, thank God. Chapter 11.
No, this is Chris.
Chapter 11. Bankruptcy.
Thank you.
For a long moment, Monica stared at the stiffly posed photograph of the solemn girl, Allegra. Allegra Chilean. The girl who had once lived in Monica's room. The ghost who had come into the room a few weeks ago.
We all got there, like, 20 pages ago.
Monica hadn't dreamt it. The ghost girl had been real. But what had she wanted? And why would someone call Allegra the evil one? I've got to find out more about the Chileans, Monica thought. I had to find out why Allegra came into my room. Well, said Miss Martin when Monica returned the book, did you find everything you wanted? I got a good start, said Monica, but I need more information. May I see the papers in the stacks?
I'm sorry, but the stacks are locked. You'll need to get written permission from a teacher. No problem. I'm sure my history teacher will sign. I'm researching a history paper. The Chilean family is an interesting topic, said Miss Martin.
It's like the forbidden section of the library, like Harry Potter.
The forbidden zone.
It is. More than you can imagine, Monica thought. She gathered up her books and headed for the library door. At the doorway, someone carrying a load of books in one arm came hurrying in without looking and ran right into Monica. The person staggered forward and the books were scattered everywhere. Excuse me, said Monica. My fault, said a familiar voice. Monica saw that it was Bridget, who had fallen against her. At the same time, Bridget recognized Monica and her expression changed from friendly to cold. I might have known, she said. Who else is always getting in my way?
Damn.
You ran into me, Monica pointed out. What are you doing here? Asked Bridget. Don't tell me you're taking precious time away from gymnastics to study. Bridget's sarcasm made Monica feel defensive. Be nice to her, she reminded herself. Give her a chance. As a matter of fact, Monica said, trying to sound friendlier than she felt, I'm studying. I'm researching a history paper on the Chileans. The Chileans?
That's everyone's reaction.
The Chileans?
Ooh, that's the word of the day. It's part of the pioneer history. It's all part of the pioneer history of the Phantom Valley, Monica went on. I happen to find it very interesting.
Yeah, way more interesting than Italy.
Whatever turns you on.
That's in the book.
She had finished picking up her books and without another word, turned and walked away. I give up, Monica thought. I'll never make friends with her in a million years. Monica had just gotten back to her room when there was a knock on the door. Who is it? Monica called. The door burst open and Kim came in.
Hi, Kim, said Monica. I've got the most exciting news. Really? Monica told her what she discovered in the library. So you mean the picture of Allegra Chilene looked like the ghost you saw in your room? Kim asked. It was her, said Monica. It was the same girl. Whoa, maybe you ought to change rooms. Are you kidding, Kim? This is really cool. Now that I know she's real, I'm going to find out what she wants. What do you mean, Mom? I'm not sure, but somehow I have a feeling I'm getting closer to the truth. The truth about Allegra. The evil one, said Kim, her smile mischievous. Right. I wonder why they called her that, said Kim. I don't know. Too bad you can't just ask her. Monica stared at her friend. You know what? She said. Maybe I can. I figured out the trick to me doing a Baltimore accent is thinking about Mira Sorvino. Is that her name?
Oh, yeah.
From Romy and Michelle.
Yeah.
I just keep thinking of her going like, Romy?
Yeah.
Post-its. Love that movie so much.
It's a good movie.
So good. After Kim left, Monica tried to study her Spanish, but it was no use. She couldn't stop thinking about Allegra. Why didn't I think of it before? She thought. She realized that the only time she had seen Allegra, it had been late at night. Maybe if she stayed up late again, Allegra would come back. Then she could find out what the ghost wanted. Sometime later. By 12 o'clock, there was still no sign of Allegra Chilene. Monica had eaten a quick dinner and returned to her room. She lay on her bed trying to do a math problem while she waited for the ghost. Take us home, Becca.
Ghosts hate math.
But she couldn't concentrate. She decided it was the doll on the bureau making her feel uneasy. It's like I'm constantly being watched, she thought. Finally, she got up and picked up the doll. Sorry, doll, Monica said out loud. But I have to put you away. Otherwise, I'll never get any studying done.
Sorry, doll.
Sorry, doll.
She opened Sorry, the doll.
She opened the closet door and put the doll back into the secret compartment. Feeling better, she went back to the math problem. But after only a few minutes, she felt her eyelids flutter. The next thing she knew, it was morning. Monica woke up slowly, feeling confused and a little frightened. She had a vague feeling that she'd had a nightmare, but she couldn't remember anything about it. Yawning, she stretched and her hand bumped something that shouldn't have been there. She turned over quickly, took one look, and began to scream.
Ba 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 ba.
Do you have a bookmark?
Here you go. Okay. Well, I wonder what's going to happen.
I wonder what she touched. What a mystery.
What could it be?
Sorry, doll.
That'd be the name of this episode if we had names.
Or Admit It, Bridget, because I still love
that. Admit It, Bridget. That's a way better name for this episode. Admit It, Bridget. Oh, my God. That's good. Avery, what did you think of Phantom Valley, the evil one?
Well, image that keeps coming to mind for me is, Nadia in What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her familiars, the little doll.
Yes.
Yes. Oh my God.
I so bad, wanted the doll to hit Bridget with a stick or something, a Nancy Kerrigan move.
Yes.
And,
oh my God.
Like not magic, but just like running over there.
Hitting people.
Just like.
Yeah. So that's my takeaway.
Yeah. That would be better.
I didn't even think about that, and you're completely right.
Oh my God. That really is coloring.
It's amusing when you imagine the doll running around and doing little things.
It is.
Yeah.
Hopefully she is, maybe, and no one's seeing it.
Yeah.
I think the doll is evil.
I would love that to happen. Wait, I'm starting to think this doll might be the evil one.
and it's Locket. Never changes like Becca brought up. It's weird,
Yeah, it's so strange.
She's looking at it and just always says the same thing.
She keeps saying and the locket still says what it said before.
Oh, it should.
The necklace
say
still
something different?
Says the same words.
It's weird that this metal hasn't.
That's not what it says.
Transmuted. Also,
it still says all your wishes. The words haven't changed. I don't know if it's a locket. It might just be a necklace.
Or a pendant, or
I'm picturing
the
it's like
Well, and it's not even in the picture on the cover.
What it probably is, like a little silver, round pendant and with it engraved all your wishes. But what I'm picturing is a kind of blingy necklace where each letter is stamped out in metal and it says all your wishes at the ends of two chains.
It should say juicy.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I'm excited for What We Do in the Shadows because that's coming back soon.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah,
it's the last season.
I feel like the doll in What We Do in the Shadows was the moment where I was I like this better than the movie. Because I like the movie, but the show is so much better than the movie. And there's a lot of reasons, and the doll is one of them.
Yeah, the doll's amazing.
And the whole Kid Colin Robinson arc.
The Kid Colin Robinson shit I loved.
Just the whole, introducing energy vampires as,
The show's sweeter than the movie.
Yeah.
I had this exact conversation with my mom the other day because she also loves the show. And I was saying that I love the concept of energy vampires so much because everybody knows one.
I wish I never heard about it because it makes being around those people so much more unbearable.
It's 99% of people I interact with at work.
Yeah.
Well, and it's just so great because it's they did that thing where he's an energy vampire where he just is kind of a know-it-all and talks to you. And then they introduce Vanessa Bayer as a different kind of energy vampire where it's an emotional one. And I'm oh, this is even worse. Because we've all, I feel like we've all just worked with that person. Oh, boy. It's a great show.
Yeah. It's just too real.
Here's a plug for, I guess, what we do in the shadows. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Did you enjoy reading this bullshit?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, good. Good
job. Seemed a little unsure there for a moment. Yeah,
that was a really like, do I want to do this again?
No, I don't.
Be thankful we didn't make you read Animorphs.
Oh.
Animorphs those are
scary. It's so hard tough to get through.
Oh, wow.
We were recording.
Like, what even happens in an Animorph? It's, I mean, like, besides a more... People body just horror. Bought those for the covers.
Body horror.
It's body horror. It's a lot of science fiction. There's so much lore.
Too much.
There's like a billion different kinds of races of aliens. Yeah. And then there's Quark like all Bajor. These rules about... Yeah, like all the alien races have their own like politics and shit. And
there's like...
We also
there's
so started many rules with book 40. About,
I think there's like five different kinds of aliens.
We went back and read the first one, I think, and it's still really, really hard to get through.
It's so dense. There's so many, immediately. Yeah.
Her elephant there's tusks so much slurped back into her face.
Yeah, and some shit is so disgusting.
Ew. Oh, there's a lot. Yeah, whenever it describes the morphing, it's always like sloughing and slurping and like flaccid, and you're like,
Let's not speak of it.
It's basically if David Cronenberg
wrote...
But
they can morph back and forth?
Yeah.
Some of them can, except for one kid who got stuck forever as a falcon or a hawk or something because you can only be morphed for like two hours or you're stuck forever. Like, what happened to this life, child?
Yeah, his life was so fucked up, he prefers being a hawk.
Yeah, that's the real dark part about it.
Okay, there needs to be like a series, like a like a TV limited series, like a dark...
They did on Nickelodeon. Yeah.
No, you're saying like starring someone Sean do it Ashman. Now and like, yeah.
Portray like a legit
TV series. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I need a gritty reboot.
A gritty reboot. Yeah. It's prime.
I'm still
for
waiting
it.
For my gritty reboot of Turbo Teen. It was a cartoon where a dude drove his Ferrari and got hit by a laser beam and then all of a sudden could turn into his car. But the way they animated it is horrifying.
Oh wait, like is that the thing where like his body would go elongates? Forward.
Yeah, his fists would go forward and become the tires, and then his mouth would turn into the grill of the car.
I just saw
horrifying
like a TikTok where someone was talking about. I didn't know it was called Turbo Teen. I just saw.
And then
the...
his friends would ride in him.
I saw. It's
weird.
Huh. What part of his body becomes the seat?
Your lungs.
His coccyx becomes the radio.
No.
All right, I want to go stare at the sky.
Okay, we're going to go stare at the sky. Anne-Marie, thank you for reading with us.
Right.
Do you have anything to plug? Anything you want people to know about?
Oh, gosh. No.
Okay, that's fine. You don't have to. You can thank you for listening. Follow Below Grade Level on Instagram and TikTok, and follow Cactus Rodeo on Facebook, and subscribe to us wherever you find podcasts. You can also check out our other shows, The Sketchy Show, which is improv sketch comedy, and Casting Dreams, which is a deep dive into the Sega Dreamcast. We do it all. Thanks for listening. Find out what happens next time in Phantom Valley. We love you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Below Grade Level is a Cactus Radio production. You can contact us at podcast@cactusrodeo.com. Subscribe and follow on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify. And follow Cactus Rodeo on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for more entertainment and updates.